to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. How are you? Are you ready to make an investment? An investment in relationship capital. You know, that's the big thing now. And kindness in the workforce is coming, becoming a very well-known phenomenon. We have a great guest with us today, Amy Thorson. She is the author of Discovering Life's Blessings in Disgust. What a title. In this book, Amy shares the story of her family's 10-year struggle through devastating health issues. This compelling novel of love, laughter, heartache, and tear walks you through an unexpected and painful path. It's a part of her life, but many times she asks the question, why me? But as we often learn in life, there is a reason for all things. Discovering Life's Blessings in Disgust shows you how to elevate what holds you back and discover the blessings in disgust. So we want to bring her online. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about relationship capital and what else she's doing in the world. Help me welcome her to On the Edge Brains, Amy Thorson. Hello, Amy. How are you?
Hi, April. How are you this morning? I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, good, good, good. Me and the Brains are so happy to have you here on the Edge. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm completely honored to be on here this evening with you, and it was great getting to know you, and I'm looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some good stuff. Okay, so take us back to the beginning. You know, tell us, who is Amy Thorson?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm married for almost 29 years to my husband, Jim. We have three children who are now 24, almost 18, and 15. And back before kids, got married and about 5 years later got pregnant. My dream always ever since I was a little girl was to have twin girls. And when we got pregnant, that was great. Then we found out I was pregnant with twins and I was like, yes. And then we found out it was twin girls and I was even like way more excited than I could ever be. I'm like, yes, my dreams are all coming true. Married to a wonderful man, man of my dreams. I'm going to have my twin girls, and life's going to be great. And 6 months into the pregnancy, things changed, and I went into premature labor, and our girls were born at 26 weeks. They were born 13 Ooh. Weeks premature. Both weighed under a pound. Our firstborn, Amber, weighed about a pound six. Our daughter, Bridget, weighed 1 pound 14, basically about the weight of a loaf of bread. And it was a roller coaster ride. For 55 days after that, you know, health, they'd be healthy one day and then they'd, you know, slide back down. And finally, after all of that, and to keep the story as short as I can, Amber decided she'd had enough, too many challenges. Her health just, she just couldn't keep up. And, after some surgeries and blood and transfusions, and she just, her body was just too weak to handle it. And she, passed away after 55 days, and my dream went with it. So I spent the next 2 years just being completely depressed and upset. I had our daughter Bridget that kept me going, and I needed to be here for her, but that was all I was here for. I was an empty shell, basically, for those 2 years, just trying to realize that I got to move on without my dream, my big dream. And our marriage suffered because of it, mostly just because we weren't communicating well and, you know, many things. There was no blame or anything like that, but it was just, we were both like just here and nothing else.
Wow.
So finally one day, I really don't know how I kind of been racking my brain, like how did this happen or when, but it was just finally me. I said, I have to get on. I have to let that go. It's part of my life. I can't live in this pain anymore. I have to make that change. I have to decide. No one's going to do it for me. So I did. I just started working back on myself again and trying to get out in the world and, you know, and enjoy life as best I could. So you know, that was a big shocker for me. It took me 5.5 years to say, yeah, I want to try and have kids again, because I was just completely freaked out. Twins do run very prevalent, especially on my mom's side of the family. So that's what my biggest fear was. What if I got pregnant with twins again? And when that, so when our son came along 6.5 years later, all I really wanted to do was just hold him, you know, just, I didn't, I, as you know,
were
I was
you
glad
overly
there just
protective?
One.
Do you think that you
not
were overly
too much.
Protective?
Not really. No. When I got pregnant with him, I kind of still had that same, you know, just positive thing that everything was going to go well. And it did. Although at the very end, I had to have an emergency cesarean with him. So I wasn't able to hold him when he was born. And again, that ability to have a natural, normal childbirth was taken from me, if you will. And so then I was just into another depression again, because I had another pregnancy and I wasn't able to hold my baby as soon as he was born. And I was completely out. You know, I had anesthesia, the full anesthesia and everything. So
what happens to, you know, to your psyche? I mean, you know, when you go into a dark place like that, like, you know, kind of postpartum depression, a lot of people don't really understand what that looks like. They think, oh, it's just hormones. But it's a lot more than that. I heard it's, you know, it's could sometimes be as deep as suicidal tendencies or, you know, a feeling of less than being worthy. And as you
Correct.
Said, it really kind of impacts your relationship because, let's face it, and I'll say it, men don't get it. You know, women, we're just designed and we're just wired differently. And because of that, that puts a lot of strain on us. So how did you come out of that?
That's a good question. It was just, I think the biggest thing was that prior to getting pregnant the first time, I really felt like I had a good solid base with my faith, had a great relationship with Jesus. And so that's why I was so positive that, you know, things would go well, and I kept thinking that, you know, nothing bad's going to happen because I'm so positive, right? But you got to realize that you don't always know the bigger picture, and God's got a bigger plan, and we may not always know the answers as to why something happened. And I don't want to use the word bad, because you can see it as bad or you can see it again, you know, as a blessing in disguise. And of course I saw Amber's death as something bad at first, but I had to finally realize maybe there is a blessing in it. I don't know what it is yet, and I may not ever know what it is. But by wallowing in my own self-pity, that's certainly not going to help anybody, let alone me or my daughter growing up or my husband and our marriage. So the best thing I can do is to pick myself up. Like my mom always said growing up, right, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, you know, and start all over again kind of thing. So I did. I went through a depression again when we had our son and had that cesarean. And I, you know, just like, you know, said, why can't I do this? So the one thing that women are supposed to be able to do, right, that's kind of our thing that only is given to us to do is to give birth. And I couldn't do it in a way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yes, I know having a cesarean is a birth, but to me it was not the way God intended, right?
Well, you know, now, unfortunately, it's become kind of the norm in certain situations in Hollywood. You know, women are predetermining their birth date because they want to have that kind of surgery. But moving beyond that, you had your own health challenges that surfaced. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yep. So we had another daughter after our son was born, about 2.5 years later. So then when she was about a year and a half old, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And she also, our youngest daughter also had some of her own health issues, too, as well. So this was a whole 10-year period of time. Our youngest daughter is 9 years younger than our oldest. So it was about 9.5 years after, our twin daughters were born that I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And, you know, again, it was just like this whole thing of like, why me? I was looking at people around me, my friends, other family members, you know, and it's like no one is going through literally punch after punch after punch like I was. It seems so I could see, you know. And so you know, I had that to deal with. And finally, as we're kind of coming through all this and I'm getting my thyroid treated and whatnot, people are looking at me and going, Amy, you need to write a book. And the first person to say that was my dad. Well, okay, so it's my dad, right? You know? And I'm like, yeah, sure, Dad, right. Who's going to listen to me? Who's going to read my story? I'm just a little country bumpkin out here, you know, in the middle of nowhere. You know? So you kind of just put that on the shelf, like, that's not going to happen. Well, then as other people are hearing my story and strangers are coming to me because they're wanting to know, you know, what I did for my thyroid and how I got that treated, or, you know, they wanted to know about our youngest daughter and her food allergies. She had severe food allergies and what we did to have her treated and stuff. And they were all saying, well, you really should write a book. Your story would really inspire a lot of people. And after about the fourth or fifth time, and like I said, some of them being almost strangers, I'm like, huh, am I being told to write a book?
Right. You know? So you need the
right?
call.
So I did. I just started, you know, kind of dabbling in a little bit. And once I really got going, man, the words just flew. It was really, I really feel like it was just divine intervention just coming right through me and out my fingers. The words just flowed off the page so fast and really felt like it was something that, yeah, I was definitely meant to do. So,
well, it is a beautiful book, and I just want to tell my brains, too, that I want you to be sure to go in and be sure to like, love, or hit wow on any of Amy's postings. I have a copy of Discovering Life's Blessings in Disguise for one of our lucky brains. I'm really excited about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about the book, but I want to jump into relationship marketing. You know, you say that you're a master maven at that. I want to hear what that means, what that looks like in today's work environment. That's a big $25 title, so we want to define that for our brains. What do you mean by relationship marketing?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And it's kind of becoming a buzzword now, isn't it, today? It seems
right.
Like a lot of other companies are calling themselves relationship marketing companies. What it means really is twofold. It's attracting business to you rather than you having to go out and pursue it. So let me ask you, April, would you rather attract business or would you rather go out there and just blanket the world with marketing material and hope something happens?
Well,
right?
You'd probably
rather just attract it.
Yeah, I want to attract it, but then, too, I don't mind dipping my pole in the water. You know, instead of getting a sardine, I might get a shark.
Right, exactly. But the best way to give your chances a higher chance of getting that shark is by building relationships. And especially in today's society, we are so bombarded with marketing. It's everywhere. We live 24/7. It's on our phones. It's on our television. It's on our radio. It's everywhere. It's, you know, obviously still the newspaper and all that stuff is still there. And it's all yelling at us, buy my product, you know, use my services, boom, boom, boom. But what happens when you build a relationship with someone and you get to know, like, and trust them and you know what they do, they're going to be the first person that you think of when you need your service. Or, more importantly, when someone comes to you, maybe at a cocktail party or some other networking event, and they say, you know, I'm thinking of selling my home, but I just really don't know who to go to. And you've got a relationship built with a real estate agent, you're going to say, you have got to use my friend so-and-so because she's going to take care of you, not just for the sale of your home or the listing of your home or buying a home, whichever it is, but she stays in touch afterwards. They send you birthday cards. She sends you Christmas cards, but there's no marketing involved. It's just, I know she cares about me. She's not trying to get anything from me. Does that make sense?
Right. That makes perfect sense. It does. But,
yep.
You know, at the end of the day, it is still about, you know, business. So what are two or three key things that we must keep in mind when we're looking to build a long-term relationship with a client? Because people get that confused,
sure.
You know, they get it confused with a business relationship and a friendship. And so you have to be able to differentiate. So give us a couple tips on how to do that.
Sure, absolutely. Be happy to. So the first thing that comes to mind is when you are marketing, market. Send out your marketing material. When you are sending a birthday card, a holiday card. It doesn't matter if it's an e-card or a physical card in the mail or whatever it may be. Just do that. Just make it about them. They know who you are. They don't need your business cards put in their Christmas card. They don't need you to ask for their referral. They don't need that coming from you when it's a personal thing, when it's that holiday card, birthday card, or it's just a checking and phone call or whatever. Because it starts to smell spammy. It starts to smell like they're trying to get something from me, not because they care. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to stay in touch on a regular basis. There was a study done several years ago from the California Association of Realtors that a survey was done, I think it was several hundred people who had purchased a home. And like 90% of them said, yes, they liked their realtor, they would use them again. 7 years later, those people were surveyed again, couldn't remember the realtor's name. And the reason why is the realtor did not stay in touch. And so an average homeowner moves, either buys or sells a home, every 7 years. So if you don't stay in touch on an unmarketing way, again, this that personal way, they're going to forget you and they're going to go find someone else. I've heard story after story after story of realtors who realized how much business they've lost because they saw a home that they sold and now it's for sale again with another agent because they didn't stay in touch. So that's the biggest thing. And it's a simple, easy way to do it. You can do it, again, through even if you just did, I think, two or three times a year and you just sent a seasonal card. Hey, happy spring. Hey, happy 4th of July. That's a great one. You know, 4th of July, celebrating the country's independence, right? And then, of course, the holidays. Happy New Year.
Right. And what I like to do also is, you know, in the world of social media, people really kind of forget to capture that information. They'll go in and say, for example, our interview. They're going to absolutely love it, and they're going to click on it, and they're going to like it. But what you have to do is you have to pick that up because someone's engaged with us. It's a different connection in cyberspace. Go in and like it. Go in and tell them happy birthday. Offer promotions. Offer gifts because the world of social media is so impactful. You know, to get that personal touch, to get a card, snail mail is great, but you've got to be in people's face all the time. You know, me, I'm a firm believer that you need to be in an event, a community event, in your immediate community or networking group at least 2 to 3 times a month. People need to see you. Again, like you said, they need to touch you. They need to talk to you. They need to see you more than when it comes to making the deal or asking
Absolutely.
For something. You know, that's with nonprofits
sure.
or anything, especially in the world of nonprofits, too, because that's a very tender relationship. You know, there's really no ROI. I'm giving you because I'm philanthropic and I'm happy to support you, but what is the warm fuzzy for me? You know, so I
sure.
get it. So building that relationship is paramount. Now, do you work specifically with realtors, or who is your target market for this relationship marketing?
Sure, absolutely. Well, realtors would be my biggest client, definitely, because they do have that where they work with so many people over the course of a year and then years. But insurance agents, mortgage lenders, you know, and interior designers, anybody who has, and we even have some clients that are larger corporations that use our services for even sending employees happy birthday cards and things
right.
like that. So there's also that inner part of the business that you need to be appreciating your employees too, because if you don't, well, they're going to go look for a job somewhere else that does, right?
Right.
So it's
they're not
going to
give their best.
Like that. Exactly.
Yeah, they're not going to give their best.
There's that saying that the person who is appreciated will do more for you than they're expected of them because they know they're going to be appreciated for the work that they're putting in.
Absolutely. So what's going on in the world of Cedar, Michigan? What are you guys doing down there? And how far are you from Flint?
Okay, so from Flint, I'm about 3 hours north. And Cedar, Michigan is a tiny, itty-bitty little village with where I grew up. It's a Polish town. We have a polka festival in the summer. Traverse City, which isn't too far away, has the National Cherry Festival every summer, too, as well in July. And that's always a big 8-day event. It's one of the largest festivals in the nation.
Wow. And so do you guys dress up for the Polka Fest? I'd like to be there for that.
I wear red and white, definitely. I don't put on, like, the cute little, you know, whatever dress, like a lot of, you'll see a lot of polka dancers wear or not. But I don't do that. But I will dress in red and white, usually in shorts and a tank top because it's so hot in the summertime around here, usually, although it can be cold, too. It's Michigan, so who knows. But, yeah, so it is a lot of fun. That's a four-day event, the Polka Festival it is.
So now you are doing a lot of business to business. You have an online presence, and you're really working this relationship marketing, and you're growing with that. I'm really impressed by, you know, again, by what you're saying and the delivery on that because, again, people have to build that relationship capital. And you say that you're in a small niche community, but you have the ability to, you know, with the internet, to touch the entire world, and not just for realtors, but just, again, to understand the validity, the importance, and the strength of relationship marketing. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Amy, if they want to get more information, they want to go online, or if they just want to learn how to be kind in the workplace.
Sure, should be happy to. So, well, I would love to have people connect with me on Facebook. That's where I spend most of my social media time is Amy J. Thorson, Thorson, and that's my Facebook page. I do have a Facebook page for my book, Discovering Life's Blessings in Disguise is the name of the book, and the Facebook page is Blessings in Disguise Book. So you can locate me there if you want to learn more about my book. You can even order my book. There's two ways you can order it. If you click on the big Shop Now button, that takes you to Amazon. If you would like, someone would like a signed copy, there's a little Shop button kind of underneath the banner, and that will come actually right to me, and I can send out a signed copy. I would love to do even like some book clubs or something like that. As far as relationship marketing, they can go to appreciationpal.com. That's all one word, and then /#. !83, and that'll take you right to my Appreciation Pal page. There is dozens, I think we're close to almost even 100 testimonial like interviews on there with people that have used relationship marketing, attraction marketing, have used a lot of these techniques in sales, and we've had even a lot of interviews with some top names of sales trainers like Bob Berg and some others too as well, that are big sales trainers in the world, really, today and going around. And so we've had some interviews with some of those big names on there, too, as well. So that's appreciationpal.com/#83.
All right. Brains, I need you to go in there and get your relationships in order, okay, on many different levels. It's not just your business. It's your personal relationship. It's your financial relationship. It's your spiritual relationship. It's your health relationship, okay, because we're trying to discover life's blessings in disguise, okay? And that's what Amy is teaching us to do. Thank you so much for coming here on The Edge with us. I really appreciate you and value you. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, April, for reaching out and having me on. I appreciate it so much, and I look forward to getting to know you and staying in touch with you some more.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to go in and like and love some of you guys for following me here on The Edge. You have been absolutely over the moon. You've been so generous. You like my pages. You follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk, what else? Spotify, iTunes, oh my God, you're following me all over the planet, and I thank you, and I thank you, I honor you. Please, if you have interesting comments, please leave them. I'm sure that Amy would love to go back and check them out, and as well, I'd like to hear them as well, because I want to pour into you the best that I can and make you fruitful, all right? Have a good day, brains. I love you. Bye,
Amy.
Have
a good night. Bye-bye. Have a good night.